Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. After your long weekend that you had off work, how the devil are you?
You would think a long weekend away in the wilderness, a very manufactured, safe version of the wilderness, but the wilderness, no less, would recharge one, would make you full of energy. It was a break. Nah, not with the amount I drunk.
Oh,
I feel
mate.
Lousy.
Oh, no. Are you like dead tired in that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, because we were staying up late, getting up late, drinking the Guinnesses from about 4 p.m. onwards. A lot of carbs. There was a Krispy Kreme's outlet in, there were like four different Krispy Kreme's outlets, you know, like the little stands.
Oh, right, like a stand. I thought you meant like a shop. You're only at like Centre Parks. You don't need four Krispy Kreme outlets in one Centre Parks location.
You say that, but there were legit four Starbucks outlets.
Come on. Okay, I mean, perhaps I'm off base here then, but how big is a Centre Park?
Usually they're pretty big. This one is a little bit smaller, but I would say, you know, on a bicycle, it would take you about 15 minutes to cycle round. So pretty big.
15 minutes.
15 minutes on a bicycle.
1.5. So
1.5.
So it's no bigger than like a town centre.
I would say it's bigger than a town centre.
Okay. Like a Reading. I mean, I'm only using Reading because that's my cultural touch points. But
Dartford. It's bigger than Dartford town centre, definitely.
But it doesn't sound as big as Reading Town Centre, because I think that would take you longer to cycle round than 15 minutes. And that has maybe three Starbucks, I would say, maybe. And one of those is in like the Oracle Shopping Centre, which is like this huge, like Westfield-like shopping centre places.
Yeah, well, I take your point. Too many Starbucks per square metre. But yeah, I ate a lot of Krispy Kremes. I ate a lot of donuts and sweet things and everyone else. Because, you know, I went with five other people, three couples. I eat more chocolate than most people. Didn't know this.
I don't know if I would have said this about you either, because I don't think you particularly got much of a sweet tooth. In the years that we have worked together, I feel like it has been me that has brought around like sweet treats for people like to enjoy around the office. When you get them, you are quite quick to nom 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 nom
gobble them up.
But it's not like you are going out of your way to get sweet treats. It's like
because
they're there.
Most people don't have more willpower. I think everyone roughly has the same amount of willpower. The problem they make is buying chocolate to keep in the house or buying unhealthy things to keep in the house. Because I know if there's chocolate near me, you've seen it happen on live reactions. I'm going to eat all of it.
Oh, yeah.
I've got no self-control.
I've got to move it away from you. You even say you're not going to have to move that away from me because otherwise I will just eat the whole lot of them.
I've legit got no self-control, but I'm very good at cutting things off at the source. But Holiday Ollie isn't. Holiday Ollie will buy everything, get all the treats.
Ollie Day.
I am covered in bruises from the flagrant violations of the rules of the Rapids. Have you been to Centre Parks?
I have. Well, I'm not posh, so I've never been to a Centre Parks. I'm from a working class background. So we only went to Butlins and Haven Holiday Homes.
Son of a police officer and a call centre worker over here. I am also working class.
From posh Dartford.
I don't think it is. Have you been to Dartford? It was named the capital chav city of the world when I was growing up. Posh. If Centre Parks is posh to you, then you need to pull up your socks.
Well, I have this with my, because I say it a lot to wind my wife up, because she used to go to a Centre Parks as well. And I'd be like, oh, bloody hell, yous were posh, because we used to go to Butlins and that. And that's why, like, you know, when we were talking about this in the office and someone said, it's posh Butlins, I then said, yes, it's Tory Butlins. Because I just think of it as this incredibly posh place to go, because we never went. We would only go to Butlins. Now, I'm not saying there's anything bad against a Butlins. Do you know who loves a Butlins? Luke Owen loves a Butlins. I think Butlins is terrific. Went there for a stag do a couple of years ago, the one in Minehead. Superb. Absolutely superb for exactly what you need. And I would love to take a family the holiday there. I don't think my wife's going to go for it, though, because I think she'd much rather go to Centre Parks.
Yeah. Because of the Rapids. So you've got a large central hub, which sounds like it's been named for SEO purposes. It's called Subtropical Paradise Pool Center.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Doesn't flow, really. It's a WWE pay-per-view. WWE presents Subtropical Pool Swimming Area Zone.
Paradise.
And it's got like this, you know, just it pools inside the bubble. There's a few, like it's a big dome. There's a bunch of flumes, which we managed to hack quite quickly. We figured out the optimum weight distribution to make us go very fast, too fast down some of them. And we got air. I never got air, but the other guys, they got air when they went off a bit of the flume. It was one of those cones. You know, when you get you go down the flume and you sort of just keep going round and round and round and round and you fall down a plug hole in the bottom. But the rapids are a little bit that go outside. So you're outside and it's like a very fast, lazy river and the current pulls you down.
Yeah, yeah.
And we played Limbs, a game that we invented, where everyone, you have to be holding someone else's limb by the time you reach the bottom.
Right, okay.
Back first, no turnses was also a rule.
Yeah.
Which is very dangerous. A lot of us hit our heads on the on corners of things.
Oh dear.
And this climaxed this sort of competitive couples tournament throughout the weekend and just anything we could make a competition out of to human body bowling. The floor of the chalet was quite slidy and we'd drunk a lot of beer, so we made a pyramid of beer cans and slid ourselves into them. You're not allowed to use your arms.
Are you sliding on your feet, like, you know, when you're at a school hall for a disco?
No, front.
You take your shoes off. Oh, you would get a slide on your front. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I never figured it out. I would always turn into them and end up just rolling. So I've got loads of bruises down one side of my body. Whereas my lady partner, I was so proud of her, could properly face plant into all of the cans.
Well, that's because she's like, you know, in the circus and that. She's like a gymnast and whatnot. So like she's basically been training for this moment.
Very proud. So proud. But yeah, it was a lovely weekend. What did you get up to?
Tell them I herself. had Well, yeah, it was Hell in a Cell, but I went to the pub on Saturday with some friends of mine. Unfortunately, though, because our original plan was to go to London, we were all going to get the train into London and go for a few drinks. However, cases on the up. So we didn't in the end.
It's coming home. It's coming home. Yeah. It's coming. And variants are coming home.
And I don't want this to be, it's COVID home. I don't really fancy that in my household. So we instead drove to a country pub. I had to drive to Smeg in Woking, which is like an hour and a half away from my house. Oh. But it's also an hour away from Dave, and it's an hour away from Chris and John. So like, because we're all quite disparate around the country, we found like a central point for us as best as we could. We had a table booked from 2 until 7, so we could have some
surely
lunch.
You couldn't drink.
Well, you couldn't. I had a drink when I got there. I then had a couple of alcohol-free beers, and then the rest of the time I was just drinking lemonade. Oh. And so it was from 2 till 7. We went outside about 4:30-5ish. We had some food, and then we went outside, and then we were just chatting away. Next thing I know, I look up and I was looking at some street lights, and I was like, "Huh, street lights on? That feels very early to be putting street lights on." Very early to be putting street lights on. Looked at my watch; it's 8:30, and
oh my word.
I was like, "Oh man, we have stayed here much later than we thought." And then do you know what I did? Stayed there even longer. We just carried on chatting. I didn't get home until 11:30.
God damn. On a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
just me and my mates. Me and my mates just having a chat, just having an old chin whack. Because I haven't seen them for 2 years. So it was nice for us to like get together and stuff. We basically decided as well we're not seeing each other now until like this time next year either.
Whoa. So,
you've kind of got to like it's hard for the four of us to arrange like times to get together because it's so hard for us, you know. Dave's got 2 kids. John's, you know, he's currently in the process. He might be doing some IVF next year. And Chris has got a house to do. There's just lots of stuff going on. So, like, you know, there's
adult
stuff. So, yeah, so we can't quite, like, all get together and that. But we had a very, very nice time. I got home, had 2 glasses of wine, watched some Gogglebox, and fell asleep. Do you want to talk about Raw? Here's Raw.
Oh, it was better.
Yeah, it's better this show.
Every day, every Tuesday rather, for the last 3 months, I've gotten up on Tuesday and asked myself, is today the day WWE gets good again? Is today the day Vince McMahon starts to book a fresh, compelling episode of Monday Night Raw? And every Tuesday of this year up until now, the answer has been no. But I am very glad to say that Raw, for 1 week, was good again. Was really good. Had stakes, had good stories, character stuff. Things progressed. It was new. So we're going to kick off with something that was rubbish. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. We are, of course, reviewing last night's Monday Night Raw. Just a bit of housekeeping before we get into it. Today is the first day where Ultra Chats are only read out if they're $5 and above. Because we get loads of chats and it's just a nicer way to make the content. Some people get a bit bored when it just turns into a Q&A at the end. So we thought this was a good way to do it. And if you donate under $5, your comment will appear on the screen. The production.
Just a bit of housekeeping. If any comment that you put up, it's going to appear up on screen. Any ultra chat that you put in, it's going to appear up on screen.
Yes. Not any comment.
Not any comments. No,
we're not crazy.
No, but we wanted to, like, what we found was that, like, by the Ultra Chats, we're very, very, you know, grateful to everyone that sent in Ultra Chats. Problem is that we feel like we're rushing through the review so that we can get to those Ultra Chats. So this way we feel like we can now spend more time doing a review.
And the money. So what happened last night after... it's been about a month, hasn't it, since Nikki Cross returned. She'd recovered from injury, but she was just sitting around for ages, nothing to do. And then she popped up as a lumberjack in a Miz versus Damian Priest match. Wow, I mean, I said we wanted something new for Damian Priest. I didn't think not being anywhere was going to be a part of that.
So according to Meltzer, it's because Damian Priest is suffering from a back injury. It's in fact actually the back injury that nearly got him off WrestleMania in the first place. You remember back?
Oh, wow.
They announced it as Priest for, Damian Priest. I said it again. I've said it for two times in a row. The Miz versus Bad Bunny in a singles match because they weren't sure whether they could get Morrison and Priest cleared. Then they could, which seems a bit sketchy now in hindsight, so that we could have the tag team match. And then Priest has basically just been wrestling Miz ever since. And now he's taking the time off to heal from the back injury that he suffered before WrestleMania.
Well, at least, you know, he held on long enough to have that zombie match. That would have been a shame to miss out on. So Nikki Cross just randomly appears there. And then she gets this gimmick where she runs away from Charlotte Flair and or Rhea Ripley. But that, because it's a beat the clock challenge, that means she wins those matches. And then, you know, she has like 3 weeks of being beaten and not getting, like, not really doing anything of note, but being on the winning side. And she celebrates like, yeah, look at me. Now, this has fueled a character change where she cut the camera. We've got, it's a Money in the Bank qualifying match on this Raw. It's Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And before it gets going, it cuts backstage and immediately you're just greeted by the thumbnail for this video, which is Nikki Cross's face riding close up with the sort of Hurricane Helms eye mask or a Green Lantern style eye mask. And it's blue. And she says, yeah, so I won a few matches. I'm a superhero now.
Yeah, her gimmick is that she is, it's basically the babyface version of Eve Marie's character, because Eve Marie's character is like, I'm an inspiration. People want to be just like me. And, you know, that should have fueled the stuff with Viper later on, which we'll get to, because boy, howdy was I'm super mad about all of that. But hers is more of like, it's a more earnest version of that, which is just like, I want to inspire people to be better. It doesn't matter what your lot is in life. Doesn't matter how big you are, how short you are, how thin you are, this, how fat you are. Like, I want to be that inspirational purpose, that person that makes people get out of bed in the morning. So I'm now a superhero. And she's like, it's all about the spirit to win. It is effectively, in so many words, take your prayers, eat your vitamins. Like, that is what we're doing here. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins.
I think she performed it very well. I think Nikki Cross generally can make most things work, but to an extent. There's some things that are inherently mid-card gimmicks or even undercard. They're resigned to comedy. Of course, this has been done many times before. We've had the Hurricane, Shane Helms. We've had, Rosie?
Well, yeah, it was Rosie.
With Hurricane. Yeah, Rosie.
It was Mighty Molly with the Hurricane.
Mighty Molly,
well.
Molly Holly. So we've had this before, and I think she'll get it over. And a lot of people I've seen have been like, yeah, but, you know, we all like Molly Holly. We all like the Hurricane. I'm like, yeah, you're right. We do. And I think that is through a nostalgic lens, personally. I think if we'd seen someone do work as a more serious character or a more psychotic character, and now she's playing a superhero, as an adult, like, I'm just like, it's a bit clownish.
And I thought it worked for that. I thought the Hurricane made it work. Helms made it work. Mm-hmm. Really, really great. Like, you know, I think Mighty Molly, it's not my favorite era of Molly Holly. And, you know, like, Rosie really enjoyed it. Like the pop that they got when they won the tag titles is sort of testament to how over they got over as an act. But like, Helms really, really got the role. And like, it was his character. Like, you know, and he would say that the Hurricane isn't a superhero, but he thinks that he is. And there's that moment when he's in the Rumble and he tries to choke slam Austin and Triple H. That is one of my favorite Rumble moments ever. So I think that Helms made it work. I don't think I could say the same for Super Eric over in TNA. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could say the same for Ricochet when he was being given the promo. Because like, she cut the Ricochet promo that Ricochet had a few years ago, where it's like, superheroes are real, gee willikers, we're so lucky to be out here. And I don't think it would have worked if it was given to Pac either, when they wanted him to be Mighty Mouse. Like, this can work. This can totally get over. But it'll get you over to a certain level.
Another defense of this is that it's Nikki's idea. So Killian Dane, who his real life husband, he's tweeted out, hey, she was trying to, she had an idea, they let her run with it. And, you know, that's good. I'm all for wrestlers having more creative input on their characters. However, I think in this instance, it's a bit broken because I feel like Nikki has tried so hard, gotten in great shape. Last year when she was like jumping around on commentary, she is always trying to get on TV, like with Sanity, of course. And she's just been turned down time and time again. The whole Alexa Bliss stuff when they were friends, that's her, like, that's her force of will and character, getting herself into those spots. And I think eventually when you've tried everything, you are a bit like, well, what does Vince McMahon like? Okay, let me pitch this, you know, permanently mid-card character, and he'll probably go for that. She is going to get more screen time. I have no doubt about that. She's going to get more offense. As we saw in this match, she like got the bulk of the action, and she pinned to win clean over, was it Shayna Baszler?
Well, of course it was Shayna Baszler. You're not kidding, of course it was. Yeah?
But it's just like, it's not as bad as, you know, going up to Vince McMahon and saying, hey, I've got a great farting gimmick, and I want you to push me to the moon with my farting gimmick. Of course he will, but it's kind of like it chips away at your own soul. And I feel like this is a bit of that.
Can I give you my pitch as to how this came about? This is pure, I don't want to put this out on the record, this is just pure speculation on my part. Here is what happened. Nikki Cross had a meeting with Vince where she said, I want to be an inspirational character. I want to tell people that they can have the spirit to win. And what Vince heard was, you're a superhero then. And that's, and so the superhero aspect of this is Vince. The inspirational side of this is the character that Nikki was looking to play, as opposed to Nikki went in there and was like, do you know what I want to do? Dress up in blue spandex and wear this blue mask and blue makeup, and I'll be a superhero for you.
I think this would work quite well with Eva Marie. Why couldn't Nikki Cross have just been like, oh, I'll take you as my influencee to Nikki Cross.
The difference,
you tell that story.
They're both
Scottish.
Yeah, I mean, the difference there is that Eva Marie, Nikki Cross is not a plus-sized lady. And that is why Viper was given this role. Let's be honest here.
What are you accusing WWE of?
Hey,
outrageous. Anyway, she did win.
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm just saying I think that's the reason why they did it.
She did win the match. Her and Bliss qualified for Money in the Bank. And Shayna and Nia and Reginald kind of lost because Bliss was controlling minds again. So I mean, it's good that she's got... This is going to give her some short-term success. And I bet in 10 years, people look back on it and go, oh, that was a good little run. It was funny. Maybe she'll even do her Hall of Fame induction thing when they run out of people to induct in 2040. And she comes out as Superhero Nikki or whatever the name ends up being called. But yeah, it's not for me. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I'm glad that Nikki is getting TV time. That's the plus side of all of this. Because I think, you know, she absolutely has earned that TV time. And she has been just so poorly treated since the Bliss split, which essentially was just, well, we're tired of you. We really just want to push Bliss. And we actually haven't even talked about Bliss got a new gimmick in all of this as well.
New music.
Well, they have totally dropped all of the Fiend stuff. Because she was coming out to Firefly Funhouse entrance music and she had Firefly Funhouse graphics about her. They've just totally dropped all of that away from it. This is now just Alexa Bliss's her own character that is really now not connected to the Fiend. Also, there was no Lily chat this week. She said that on Hell in a Cell, Lily's still in timeout, but it doesn't feel like that's now 2 weeks that we haven't had Lily on the show. And her gimmick now is just, I am mind powers and I'm controlling you with my mind now. However, what I'm not doing is asking you to lay down so I can just pin you outright, which I do have the ability to do because I can control you with my mind.
That's how I'd use the mind powers.
That's what I would do.
On the person I'm directly wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm like, because now Alexa Bliss is in Money in the Bank, I would just, you know, look at whoever is climbing up the ladder and say, "I stop climbing the ladder now, please. And allow me to climb up instead." That is what I would do if I had the mind control.
I would hope I still had the telekinesis bit from before, just look up. Oh, they should do this. She just looks up in the middle of the ring, does the sort of cock to the side of her head, and that cock to the side of her head. You know what I'm trying to say.
I think I've seen that film.
So it's just a big penis on her shoulder. That's what I'm going for. The telekinesis powers. Boom, penis. Boom, penis.
As long as she has a good penis on the other side as well. Yeah. Like, just trying to tell her what to do.
I'm not going to do an impression of a penis, but I do a very good one. But yeah, she just looks up, clicks, and the briefcase should fall into her hands.
Well, I was about to say, you can't do all of that stuff now, because this is what we were talking about on the Hell in a Cell show yesterday, is they've had to adapt her gimmick so they can do it in front of live crowds. But that version you can do.
Just do a having trouble.
I thought you were going to say, like, she, like, you know, has a cock to the side of her head, and then it just sort of flies off into her hands. You know, sort of like bewitched, be like, whoop,
and then on a bit of string.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or she raises up to it.
Back in front of fans is going to be terrible. Look at all the fun we could have had with Alexa Bliss.
I think this might bring the Fiend back. That was the first thing I thought when they changed her music. I thought, oh, okay, that, you know, that would make sense to change that if you're going to bring the Fiend Bray Wyatt back soon as well. And who's Bobby going to face after Money in the Bank?
Well, you think it's going to be the Fiend, who hasn't done anything this year but lose, and he's just going to walk into a title shot against Bubble? No, come on, lads. Yourself.
Why not?
There's some legend. It'll be Goldberg or something, because SummerSlam is, oh crap, we haven't built any stars in 18 months. We've just got to bring in anyone we possibly can do from the outside world.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, let's see what you guys thought of the Nikki Cross gimmick change. Remember, wrestletalk.com/support. Get in your chats. We'll read out every single one of them. Over $5. Benjamin John Milne says, how do you stop a wrestler with supernatural powers? You give a wrestler superhero powers. Nikki Cross to beat Alexa Bliss confirmed. Almighty Molly, do the right thing, guys. Review AEW and Dark on a Monday or Tuesday instead of Raw. This Raw was good. Honestly, good, this was the only bad thing about it. Well, the only really bad thing about it. We haven't really spoken about Cross and Bliss and that they were just together. I felt like that was a bit of a waste.
They mention on commentary former tag team partners, like former, you know, they're like the former friends that are back together. But like, they didn't do anything character-wise. A few months ago, Nikki Cross was begging Alexa Bliss to like revert back to her old self. They had matches based around this on Raw. And they basically was like, "Yeah, we're not just gonna, yeah, that's not that that never happens. That's just not a part of our characters anymore. I'm now a superhero, by the way, so we're just changing what happens."
But it's a new character, Luke. It's totally new.
That's a very different thing, you big dear. Oh no, it's not. I mean, technically not really.
Anthony Velasquez, really good Raw with good qualifying matches and the right people advance to Money in the Bank. Not sure what to make of the new gimmick for Nikki. We'll get into that. But if anyone can get it over, it's her. Plus, her husband said it's a gimmick she wanted to do. Emma Bon, I booked join Raw. I hate giving myself hope, though. What if Super Nikki is Bliss brainwashing? Bliss's memory of Nikki as a hero fuses with her powers. It will be the first time I cared about Bliss Fiend. Maybe affect an old rival like Bailey next. That's not bad. I quite like that as a character beat, but I don't think WWE is subtle enough to make that happen.
Yeah, I don't think the two are connected.
Stephen Guzman as well for now. I'm so conflicted with the Nikki Cross stuff. I love the Hurricane, sorry, and feel like I'm a hypocrite for hating this with Nikki, but I still think this only happened because WWE destroyed her NXT character. That was great. I think that's how I feel. You've summed up, Stephen, that I also love the Hurricane and I do enjoy Molly Holly. So there is, I'm like, oh, why I should like this, right? But it's just a bit.
Yeah, and also like NXT is becoming even less now about being sort of like a proving ground or a training ground, because you come up to the main roster and get a brand new gimmick. And also NXT champion Karrion Kross had a tryout match on SmackDown. Isn't that what NXT is? Is just a lot of tryout matches before you go to the main roster?
Shouldn't do you think that was just weird wording?
No, I mean, apparently that's what it was. It was him and Bronson Reed were having tryout matches for the main roster. Like, that's literally God. The point of NXT.
Damn it. Just watch NXT, Vince. They've made it super easy for you.
He hasn't got time for that now.
This episode of Raw opened with sort of an announcement that, hey, we're getting all these matches tonight, 5 Money in the Bank qualifying matches. And I was like, oh, wow, they are giving things stakes. I always like this. The shows, the episodes where they book them around qualifying for something always seem to be consistently better than average.
Yeah. This was a very good episode of Raw, but I think it says a lot about how low Raw has set the bar this year when WWE did the bare minimum of a good wrestling show. And we're like, oh my God, they've absolutely nailed it. Like they've worked out the formula.
Yeah, because I was thinking this would have been this is an average episode of Raw, really. This should be the average level of quality.
This is the bare minimum that you have to do to make a good wrestling show, with matches that mean something, with decent segments, good promos, and a great main event. Literally did the bare minimum. And because it's been such a bad year, we're like, 5 out of 5 show, best show of the year, basically.
It genuinely is the best show of the year, I think. And
easily.
Four out of five, I gave it. But yeah.
Easily.
Relatively. It's 3. So Bobby Lashley comes out with MVP and his sexy sisters to celebrate the victory the night before. He's not selling anything. And they start to cut the promo, but the New Day come out and they threw toast. I incorrectly said pancakes on my review video.
Because they were throwing toast because MVP and Lashley were having a toast. So they joined them in the toast by throwing toast at them. Now, I know there were a lot of people who used to be really mad at the New Day for throwing pancakes. And you at least like pour pancakes onto people because it was like food wastage, right? Which, it's a fair enough point. But I always used to be like, you know what? I'm sure they get eaten somehow and that's absolutely fine. When they start throwing toast, I nearly lost my mind. And then you join those people and be like, don't waste toast like that. Toast is one of the greatest gifts that this world has ever given us. Don't be so disingenuous towards toast. Toast is bloody great. Put a nice bit of jam on there, you're on your way.
Imagine if it was peanut butter covered toasted bagels, Luke.
Oh, I'd be so mad. so mad. With a little sprinkle of sea salt on there. Delightful.
Would that be the one thing that would get you to finally stop watching WWE? You've sat through all the 10 years of not building new stars, 3-hour Raws. God damn, when they got those bagels out. Those sons of bitches from New Day. But what happened next is they outlined the sort of philosophical basis behind the conflict of Kofi and Bobby. And I like this because Kofi lost to Drew, obviously, quite recently, but he does still have that victory over Bobby, which Drew helped him do, that dangling over. And they have had those backstage segments with MVP coming up to Kofi. So this was foreshadowed. First big tick. Second big tick. Kofi said, look, you in the ring there, you've got MVP. He's like, he's just there for the money. He's the business manager. He's not your friend. You've got all these women hanging around you. They're just hangers on. They're using you. Whereas Kofi surrounds himself with people he loves, with his friends, Xavier Woods, Big E, on another brand, with positivity in general. And it's a clash of those two ideologies. And I think that brings a lot of depth to the feud.
Yeah, and it's remarkable how good MVP and Lashley are in their role and how good Woods and Kofi are in theirs in getting this argument across, that it completely makes you forget the fact that Kofi only beat Lashley because Woods interfered and Drew interfered on his behalf. Very heelish things to be doing for your baby faces. But I'm like, I think Kofi's right, though. Like, because he's that good at what he does. And MVP is so great at being an unlikable manager and sort of like telling you how friends are terrible that I don't like MVP, but I do like everything that Kofi's saying.
So things got out of hand fast. Usually they string these out for a couple of weeks. But, we've still got four. This is right at the start of the Money in the Bank build. And Kofi just went, can I have a title match? A pay-per-view, Bobby. And Bobby went, yeah. And then Xavier Woods was like, well, how about I face you tonight? Not for the title, but in a Hell in a Cell. And Bobby went, yeah, all right, let's do that as well. It's a Hell in a Cell.
I know.
Has there ever been a Hell in a Cell with less build? This was a 2-hour, 15-minute build to a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, this was so apparently as well. Sean was saying on the Fightful podcast that the reason why we had a Hell in a Cell match on this show tonight is that USA Network were upset that Fox got to have one and they weren't getting one. WWE unfortunately have got like two dads that they are just trying to appease, and it's like, well, you did that with your other dad. It was like, well, I could do it with you as well, Dad. I can go play football down the park with you as well if you want.
I just think that. The use of dads here is weird.
What's wrong with having two dads?
And then there's nothing wrong with having two dads.
Are you saying that having two dads is a bad thing?
No, just the way... Just this is painting a weird picture in my mind. I don't often see WWE as the child in this scenario.
Oh, I think it's more of...
I think it's more mistresses. They're mistresses. or male mistresses. There's no hate here. I've got a Pride t-shirt on. The profits go to charity.
WWE are definitely the child in this scenario. Vince thinks farts are the funniest thing in the world. He's definitely the child in this one.
He's not alone there. Anyway, Bobby agreed to a main event of him versus Xavier Woods and Hell in a Cell. So, wow. And it was a very good main event. I enjoyed it a lot.
Really, really good, yeah. Like, I wrote in my notes again, this feels very Vince Russo is back on the booking committee, which is like, Smegan, we'll just do a Hell in the Cell match for the sake of it. Why not?
Yeah. After that, we got a RK-Bro bit backstage. I can't even remember who Riddle was talking to.
I've only got him talking to Randy. Have I missed a segment?
Was it only Randy?
It's had a segment with Randy where they're talking about the fact they've got qualifying matches.
Oh, okay. We had the AJ Jeff Hardy match in this again. Yeah, okay, good. So they spoke about that. Randy was like, just you don't want to face me in the Money in the Bank matches. Then we got AJ Styles versus Ricochet. That was our first qualifier. There was a little pre-tape bit from earlier in the day where AJ and Amos looked at the Viking Raiders backstage and AJ slapped a turkey leg out of Ivar's hand. That played into the match, got some good athleticism, of course, because it's Ricochet and AJ Styles. But then the Viking Raiders came down, attacked Amos, who was doing nothing, and AJ lost.
Of, apropos of nothing, the Viking Raiders just came down and started brawling with Amos. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And that distracted AJ Styles to allow Ricochet to get the win, which, you know, it's quite surprising in and of itself, because Ricochet is like on the lowest rung of the lowest ladder in WWE. Like when they were having the promo later where Jinder and Jeff Hardy and Cedric were out there in the chat, I was like, I think they're actually higher up on the rungs than Ricochet is, because they've at least been on TV and have won matches. Whereas it doesn't feel like Ricochet's been doing anything as of late. Like all he's been doing is being a pain in the ass to Sheamus and being beaten by him.
But he can flip.
He can do, well, so can Reginald. Why put Reginald in there? Ricochet.
Don't give them ideas.
So Ricochet qualifying really surprised me here. I would love to see it as a positive thing. Unfortunately, I don't. And what my kind of takeaway I've got from the Money in the Bank match we've got thus far, and I'm not trying to sound like the negative Nelly in all of this, is that it is not a star-studded Money in the Bank match thus far.
Hey, I fully believe Jinder's going to replace someone. So that's a way to increase the drawing power. I think they really have to decide whether AJ Styles and Amos are a heel or babyface act. I think it's creating a really flat feud with the Viking Raiders. There's nothing to happy in here.
Davis, I disagree. You look how well the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley feud is going because neither of them are a face or a heel. Like, I think you can just do it either way.
I mixed up my notes. Now was the Orton Riddle bit backstage.
Yes, there we go.
My note from earlier was that I'm really glad they're not just going to do another New Day RK-Bro match. Because that's all, you know, it seems like that's always a danger. You'll just do the same thing that works over and over again in WWE. So glad they went elsewhere. Then we got the qualifying tag match of Eva Marie.
Yep, you're right.
And,
your notes are right.
Oh, that was it. Eva Marie and Doudrop versus Asuka and Naomi.
Right. Oh, boy, howdy, have I got some things to say here. I was the only person in the world last week that liked that segment. I was the only person in the world that liked the Eva Marie thing that they were doing with Piper Niven, because for me, it just sort of like, yeah, it's a new character. It's fine. It's what WWE do. Like, we actually, someone mentioned it in the comments, General Aziz. You know, they literally just, he was on Raw Underground as this lad. Now he's no longer that lad. He's a new character. We're not making any reference to the Raw Underground stuff. He's just General Aziz now. And we were going to say that, cool, you know, she's no longer Piper Niven. She's now just Doudrop. This is a new character that she's doing. And I thought, you know, that's not what I would have done, but hey, it's absolutely fine. And I quite like the gimmick they're doing with Eve Marie, where Viper's going to do all of the work and Eve Marie's going to take the credit for it, because that totally works for Eve Marie's character and it makes Viper look really, really awesome. Now, I think that WWE heard the criticisms last week of people saying, like, this makes no sense. We all know that's Piper Niven because we watch NXT UK. I think that was probably people lying, because no one watches NXT UK. That's categorically, that's scientifically proven that no one watches that show. So I think they've now just course corrected to, because this is not the characters we had last week, where Piper Niven now doesn't like Eva Marie because Eva Marie's given her a new name, when that was her character from last week. And now she is and always has been Piper Niven, and she's unhappy with Eva Marie, and they're breaking up this team already with less than a week's build towards this. They're already having dissension in this. This just makes the commentary team look like idiots, because they were playing into the characters from last week where they didn't know who she was, and they still have to play into those characters from last week because that's the only thing that can sort of make sense as to why she's now got this new name. So now everyone just looks like an idiot, and no one, Eve Marie is now massively, she's less over than she was previously. I think the Viper's less over than she was. Asuka and Naomi get absolutely nothing from beating them, and now this act is being broken up. So really, what was the point of any of it?
Yeah. So Asuka and Naomi are through to the Money in the Bank match, the women's Money in the Bank match. And Doudrop seems to have not fully broken up with Eva Marie, but she showed defiance.
But
and
why?
That's not how. Well, because she gave her the name. But yeah, this is week two of this story. I think one of the best examples of this kind of story in recent times is the Miz and Alex Riley. I thought that was brilliantly done. And it only worked because you had Alex Riley being just like take loads and loads of crap for The Miz for like a year. And then when he finally like stood up to him, it was awesome. That's say what this to needed to face. Be. Yeah. Rage. But this is week two. Like, yeah, there's no emotional payoff now because it's that sort of bullying has not been given a chance to grow.
I've already seen her turn on her. So like there's no growth to be had from here at this point. I saw people being like, oh man, like they could have done this in a couple of weeks' time. I was like, a couple of weeks? You could have done this in a couple of months' time. Like there's a why people are just so quick to want to pull the trigger on things at the moment. It's like not let anything build and fester.
I quite like the idea of them qualifying for Money in the Bank and having Eva Marie and Doudrop. Is that how it's said? Well, it's not Dewdrop. I thought I could say it either way.
No, it was. It's English Americanisms. I would have said Dewdrop because I would have called it Mountain Dew. But apparently, like in America, it's Mountain Dew.
Well, anyway, Dewdrop and Eva Marie, if they're in the Money in the Bank match, that's like a fun little, oh, they're both going to team up against everybody else.
So much more interesting than Asuka and Naomi being in the match.
Yeah. After that, like, I think the story of Raw for a while, but this episode in particular, is that the women's division has been booked awfully. Every single women's thing was either below average or actively sucked. And one of these is this like never-ending Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley feud. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce called out Rhea Ripley to tell her off after the DQ finish at Hell in a Cell, which is one of the more ridiculous things. It's not... That freaking finish.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, is very annoying. And they just said, like, well, you should apologize or something. And she didn't. She was being a heel. And then Charlotte Flair came out being a heel. And they've got another match at Money in the Bank. So we've got another month of this terrible feud that no one's into.
So on the Fightful show today, Sean was saying that he was speaking to some of the talents in WWE about Becky Lynch being at the Performance Center. And he said the quotes I got back were, good, maybe they'll start treating the women's division seriously again.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think Charlotte wins the belt. And then after that, we get the mirror image of last week's terrible Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke segment with Natalya and Tamina. So Natalya and Tamina, they're trying to do the photograph segment this time, but ooh, the Rose and Brooke are making too much noise for their interview. They have a little war of words. They try and get into the ring, but Brooke and Rose fight them off. It's a match I don't want to see because Natalya beat Rose clean at the pay-per-view.
Last week, Natty and Tamina said to Rose and Brooke, hey, you should focus less on your photo shoots and more about your in-ring work. So this week, they were doing their interview and then said, hey, you need to focus less on your in-ring work and stop us doing interviews. Like, they're doing the thing you asked them to do. You're no longer the baby face in this scenario. But also, I don't think Rose and Brooke are the baby faces either. Also, I saw you beat her clean as a sheet on the kickoff show for Hell in a Cell. There is zero chance anyone can give a single F about this. There's no way anyone could be invested in this feud. Not even the ironic Tamina fans.
Yeah. No one has any characters in the women's division, apart from Bliss and Cross.
And Eva Marie.
Yeah, I guess that's
fair. Charlotte Flair's got a character. She's annoying. Rhea Ripley's got a character. She is the living troll.
No, Ripley doesn't have a... She doesn't have a character.
She's a troll.
She's like, got a face.
She's got a face.
She's got a face, she does.
That's her character.
Anyway, we've covered all the women's stuff now. The rest of the show was very good. Really, really, really good. Average by any other standards. But really good, you know? Because after that, we got Randy Orton versus John Morrison. And I know Ricochet beating AJ Styles was considered an upset. I didn't really think so because I thought, you know, you've got that tag feud to get towards ladder match, Ricochet. That didn't really surprise me. Randy Orton losing here, really, to John Morrison as well, that that was a shocker to me. And that really made me sit up and take note of the rest of the qualifiers.
I think I would have enjoyed this finish more if it wasn't the exact same finish we had in the AJ Ricochet match, mm-hmm. which is that someone comes down, brawls with someone at ringside, someone gets distracted in the ring, and that causes them to lose. It's literally beat for beat what we got in the AJ Ricochet match. But like, they should have just saved it for this one, because here yeah. it made sense to build in the Randy Orton Matt Riddle storyline. It just, they only did it in the first one as an out for AJ Styles to lose to Ricochet, because Ricochet is no one. So that sort of irked me a little bit, really, because it is just like that repetitive, raw, terrible booking that we get on this show. And John Morrison in Money in the Bank, like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's going to do some fun stuff, as is Ricochet, but like, can you see John Morrison winning? Can you see Ricochet winning? Mm. No, like, because no one feels like a star at the moment.
Again, because Jinder's going to take one of them out and replace them.
I would love Jinder to take someone of that. At least Jinder's been winning matches on main
also,
event.
Come on, Luke. I don't know why I didn't think of this. Randy Orton's not going to wrestle a ladder match.
Do you remember when he was in Money in the Bank?
He does not take that bump.
Randy Orton in Money in the Bank doing everything he possibly could to not take ladder bumps was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in a wrestling match.
So what happened was Miz did the dripstick thing on Orton, and he's in the wheelchair. Matt Riddle comes out on the scooter. They have a very slow race around the ring, and John Morrison hits a pretty decent Starship Pain. Usually that is a ugly as hell landing, but I thought it landed pretty well. Orton stormed out. He's annoyed with Riddle. Miz in the wheelchair is quite nice, because he's been taken back as a focus, because he was really quite overbearing. The Morrison stuff was quite frustrating. But I'm enjoying him in the wheelchair, specifically because it's surely building to him interfering behind the referee's back. He gets up out the wheelchair, pushes it, and then sits back down. And I want that.
Yeah, I mean, the moment when he stands up, I think it's going to be really, really fun, because you can have some really like outrage Byron Saxon commentary, which I think could be really fun, particularly because Corey Graves can then take like the Lawler rods, like, I didn't see him do that.
Yeah. it's not going to be Linda McMahon. It's not going to be Linda McMahon, no. But so after that, we had the Bliss and Cross match, which we've already covered. Then it cuts back to the undercard backstage, which is Jeff Hardy, the United States champion, Sheamus, although he is injured, Cedric Alexander, and Jinder Mahal. And Jinder Mahal threatens them all, like, well, what if something happens to a qualified wrestler? Will he get to take their spot in Money in the Bank?
Which I'm all for, obviously, because that feels like a bit of a storyline. I could go for that. Why have they changed Sheamus's character? Sheamus's character all year long has been like, or actually, you know, longer than that, pretty much since he's gone to Raw. I love having matches. I love going out there and having fights with people. Mm-hmm. And then he said he said to Pierce or Deville, who aren't general managers, why haven't I got a qualifying match? And Pierce says, oh, so you're okay to defend that title? It's like, oh no, I can't fight. I've got to break my nose. And then he sort of like shyly walks away. And I'm like, that's not what you do. You love to fight. You love to defend. Like, you love to beat people up. So why are you now afraid to beat people up? Apropos of nothing.
Yeah, it's just a new character, Luke. I don't know why you're frustrated about this.
Because at least give it some builds.
It's
some
just
purpose.
A new character. No, I agree. After that, we got Match of the Night. I thought this was a terrific bout. Drew McIntyre versus Matt Riddle went through two commercial breaks. Riddle, of course, really, really good. Drew McIntyre always brings it, but he just had this extra layer of just being an absolute, what's the word? I want to say war dog, but that isn't the
thing. No, he's a war dog. He's an absolute war dog.
He used to be in the Dogs of War. You know what I'm trying to say? Like someone, yeah. Like a grizzled guy who's at the end of his rope. He can't challenge for the title while Bobby's champion. He's got all these kendo stick welts on his back. He's visibly, like, his body is failing him in this match. I thought both men worked it fantastically. It felt like a real war dog by the end.
I loved this match. Thought this match was awesome. I thought Drew was great. I thought Matt was great. I really, really enjoy the in-ring work here. And also, credit to Drew above anyone else on this show. He sold the fact he was in a bloody Hell in a Cell match the night previous. No one else sold that they were in matches the night previous, but Drew made an effort. They built the match around the injuries that he'd suffered by doing Hell in a Cell. And I think that really added to the match, really added to the drama in all of this.
Totally agree. And him losing has made his character far more interesting. Being stuck in that vortex of facing Bobby Lashley month after month after month, it really turned fans against him. And it sounds counterintuitive, but beating him, having him seem so desperate, put him at the bottom for a bit and he has to work himself back up, that's a story I want to see.
Yeah. I really, really, really dug this. And also, like, seeing, I mean, even with those welts on his back and his body being broken down from the night before, seeing Drew just absolutely throw Matt Riddle like a piss missile was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, absolute piss missile. Also in this match, it wasn't just the Drew stuff. You also had the dynamic between Riddle and Orton. Of course, Orton's match was kind of cost him, although it was more him not paying attention, by Riddle earlier on. And Randy Orton comes out just before the second commercial break, just stands at the top of the ramp with his arms crossed, watching on. And you're like, oh, I mean, he's got history with Drew. He's got current stuff now with Matt. Is he going to interfere out of spite, get some revenge? And nothing happens. And that that is so measured and restrained for WWE. Riddle wins. He walks up and you're like, so you're still like, is Orton going to be proud of him because he beat Drew? Is he going to be annoyed because of what happened earlier? And he shows nothing. He gives nothing away. Riddle is like, Randy, fist bump me. Randy, what's wrong? And Randy just arms crossed, staring dead ahead. Very, very good. I'm so into their act.
And I love a little bit of detail in all of this as well, is that he's wearing RK-Bro merchandise.
Oh, so, I didn't see that.
I didn't spot it either until I was getting the images for you for the news this morning, but he's wearing the tag team merchandise. So he's still into the idea of this tag team. However, he didn't qualify for Money in the Bank because of his tag partner, but his tag partner did qualify despite the fact that he was out there watching him. He didn't put him off. So there's like lots of internal conflicts for Randy to be working with there. And for Matt, who's oblivious to anything and doesn't realize what's going on. So I think this is really, really good stuff. I'm so, so engaged with these characters and just so into everything that they're doing.
We'll probably talk about it now because it ties directly into it. Later on, they announced for next week, a match announced a whole week in advance. Something must be wrong. Orton versus Drew versus AJ in a last chance match to qualify for Money in the Bank. I hope that gets the main event slot. The stakes, the talent involved, more than enough. And Drew is going to be desperate because, you know, I think if he wins it, he still can't cash it in on Bobby.
They did say on commentary, I think he was talking about how he can cash it in on Roman, but I don't think he's allowed to cash it in on Bob.
I love that. That's a new wrinkle. I think that's a really cool idea. Like, as soon as Bobby loses it to someone, maybe Bob, for argument's sake, he drops it to Kofi in December. And everyone's like, woohoo, Kofi, yeah. And then Drew McIntyre just cashes it in. And that's a heel turn.
Someone said in our Hell in a Cell review yesterday, Bobby was the man that cost him the WWE Championship and helped Miz cash in. So if Drew's got like the briefcase, he can effectively do something along those lines, or even the person that's got in the bank briefcase to beat Bobby. So he can then challenge whoever wins afterwards, whoever wins for the Money in the Bank.
Sorry, you went a little bit crazy there. I don't know if it was me or you.
I think it was probably me.
Lost Luke for a moment.
I agree with
everything you said, though.
Yeah. Just to say, so that, Drew could like help whoever has got the Money in the Bank to cash in, just as Bobby did to him. And that way he can challenge that person then to another match. So I think there's a lot of stuff. Of the three, Orton being in there is the one that excites me the most, I think, because you can play off the Riddle dynamic. But I would say AJ being in the Money in the Bank ladder match is always going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, but character-wise, he's dead right now. Auden and Drew, very, very interesting. I love having, like, two... Like, it feels like there's really real character weight behind them. I'm looking forward to a match on Raw next week. That's nice to say. Backstage, we also had one more segment where Jackson Ryker is whipping himself.
He was spanking himself.
Oh, he was enjoying that. Because he told Mansoor was just there for exposition purposes, that he's going to have a strap match against Elias next week. Mansoor turns into Ali. It doesn't turn into Ali. He turns and Ali is there. And it's just Ali starts yelling that it's up to them to take opportunities or whatever. But yeah, Ryker had a bit of a cool intensity here. I've been quite down on him, but I got a bit of a Steve Blackman vibe.
Oh, he's never as cool as Steve Blackman. Get out of here.
A bit of a Steve Blackman vibe.
This is not the Lethal Weapon. You hush your mouth. He was just backstage spanking himself.
He was beating himself down, beating himself off. And the main event was Xavier Woods versus Bobby Lashley in Hell in a Cell. Just about 10 minutes left of the show.
Yep.
Hell in a Cell. It hurts me. It hurts me to say these words, but it was a fun match.
Yeah, no, really, really fun. I they gave Woods a lot in this. Woods, as always, was just tremendous. Although Bobby was great in this as well. Really, really, really enjoyed this match. And also because for the finish that you had for this, where Lashley tapped out Woods in the Hurt Lock, the Lashley Lock, he then drags him to the outside and starts like pushing him into the cage and like putting like the Hurt Lock on again, so that Kofi, the man who is all about friendship and positivity and his love for his friends, has now got to watch his friend be destroyed. That can't happen to someone like Bobby Lashley because he has no friends. He now doesn't have a weakness like Kofi does. So I really, really like that.
Yeah, it's a really good idea to have Kofi have to watch that on. My only bit, and maybe they'll do this in the next couple of weeks because they have got 4 weeks to build this. Although I think it would have worked well here to really kick off the feud fiery, is to properly destroy Woods. Lock Kofi out of that cell. MVP and Lashley are in there, and they just like do a proper full-on injury angle on Xavier.
So there is someone who's just said here in the chat, but I don't know what the case of this is. Is this to give Woods time off because he's got to go film G4, which he did mention in his promo at the start of this. He's now the host of that TV show, or the show that's coming back. And whether he is going to need to take some time off to go and film that.
You're only working Raw once a week. It's hardly a traveling show at the moment.
Well, fans are coming back.
I don't know
soon.
If you need time off.
But my point I was going to be was, if you want to do that big serious injury angle to Woods, that will give him the time off that he needs. Yeah. I would totally do that because it builds up the Kofi match.
Yeah. For Kofi to eventually turn heel, of course. Overall, I gave this, like I said, I gave it 4 out of 5. But really, it's a 3 out of 5. But by this year's of Raw, it's a 4.
Yeah, this was a bang average episode of Raw. But by the standards that we've had for this year, is easily the best show of the year. And I quite enjoyed watching it. They did the absolute bare minimum required and got a thumbs up from me. We gave that to our community tab. 34% gave it 4 out of 5 core. 33% gave it 3 out of 5 average. That 3 out of 5, by the way, has been really creeping up all morning. But it is very much in that 4 and 3 range, which I think is very, very fair.
Can you just pop that back up again? I think it's interesting that 1 out of 5 is at 16%, which is actually over 2 out of 5. That, to me, suggests that people are so sick of the quality of Raw that it's going to take a while for people to vote positively, even if it's a good show. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's just... I can empathize with that. It's time for to thank our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. If you go over there now, you can listen to mine and Luke's exclusive review of King of the Ring 1998. It was an amazing show to rewatch, you know, with one of the most historic matches in wrestling of all time, Mankind versus The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. That's topical.
Oh, it's so topical right now. And it was a really, really fun show to look back on. It's so interesting to read The Observer from that week as well. We spent the first half an hour of the show talking about South Park. So, and like talking about our memories of South Park from like 98, 99. A really, really fun show to do.
Yeah, so if you go over there, you can listen to that. And also, if you donate $25 a month or more, you get your name in the WrestleTalk Hall of Fame. Thank you. The Harbinger Doom Lion.
I'd have probably said the Harbinger, but you
go Harbinger Doom Lion.
An expert dancer, Great Swayerman.
The Gent, Robert Brent.
Yanni, Zane Hammond.
Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
We're all going on a Brian Huntley.
You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Zimjewski.
Is it me? Oh, man, my internet's proper like crapping up at the moment. Full of Flavor, Sean Blanford.
Robert Spencer, period.
Marcus, He's Got Soul, Campbell.
All-Star Chuck Turner.
And lastly, and this one's a bit topical as well, Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain. Do or Jew, whichever one you prefer. Thank you all so much for that. The Hall of Fame class for June 22nd, 2021.
So, thank you. The intangible one, Cliff Beard. My biggest fear for Money in the Bank now is that spooky, dark, magical crap girl Alexa is going to win. I'm torn on Nikki because the Hurricane character was great, but so was Sanity Nikki. I just don't think the superhero gimmicks will work in 2021. Eva also needs to go away.
Well, but Eva's was the greatest gimmick in the Raw Women's Division, and now they've already bollocked it.
1 week in. LJ Mickey. At the same time, I'm excited to see more Nikki Cross on TV, but I'm not the biggest fan of the superhero gimmick. But I'm willing to give WWE a chance to make this work because it's Nikki Cross. I like Nikki Cross. She is awesome. I think that's a lot of people's thoughts. RP Degnan. I'm probably fantasy booking myself into this appointment, but I do hope that Bobby's next challenger after Kofi is Big E. Possibly using Money in the Bank to get around the brand stuff would work with the New Day story and be cool to see the main event Survivor Series. I like that.
Or I think that might have even been SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, of course, SummerSlam. Matthew Robinson. Love the ending to this Raw. Why couldn't Hell in a Cell have ended like this? Clean. Everyone is so ready to see Kofi against Bobby. And that's because they've done a good job the last couple of weeks subtly building that up with some great promo work from Kingston and MVP. Vandalia 1998. I'm excited for the Kofi Bobby feud, but worried they will drag it out till we are sick of it again. How long do you two think a feud should go to be good, but not too long? Also, how about a mid-card championship title?
We've got enough titles as it is around these parts. But also, a feud can last for a long time. Look at the Omega Moxley feud has been going on since October 2019. Actually, even before that, it was when they first did Double or Nothing, when Mox came in and attacked him. So that's May, June 2019? Yeah. And they've only really just sort of ended the feud that they've had because you fracture them off into various different other bits and pieces, but you still have them with that connective tissue.
Yeah, I totally agree. You can have long, long, long feuds. It's about making them good and not repetitive and not using all of your matches up in the first 4 months. You have two people feud, you take them apart, and you bring them back a couple of months later. That makes it feel like a long-term story. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage didn't just implode right away. They had a year of build.
No, what they should have done was actually just implode them 1 week later, because that's where the money is. Charles Berg said, Raw was actually decent. Things made sense. Matches were good. Ollie, I'm a man of my word. Claw review number one. So Charles usually sends in reviews of dogs for bad episodes of Raw, but because this is a good episode of Raw, he has sent us in a kitty cat to review. And here is that kitty cat. It says, Boy is a sweet stray tabby who is my homie. Like a dog, he comes home when beckoned. He loves to be pet and loved, he loves to be pet and loved. 11 out of 10. Nicknames, BC, pretty fat kitty cat.
I love how it is sinning like a human. Thank you, Charles. That's good. Much better than a dog.
The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hey, lads. Oh, man, when I said that on a stream, I got so much heat. The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hey, lad. Back after a busy week. I just heard I graduated. Going to start an internship in a bank. Really excited. Maybe you'll have some money in it. About Raw, great wrestling, and this episode felt like the start of something, although next week it could be boring. Love you, team. That is something we should make reference to, actually. This was a good episode of Raw. You've got to keep that momentum going, then. Next week's another 1 out of 5 show. This becomes an outlier.
Congratulations, Sadie... Portuguese Mr. Davis. Yeah, indeed. Well done. That's great.
Sadie6969, hey, boys. So, Raw happened. I think saying Shayna deserved better is like saying water is wet and LIW is awesome. It's obvious and almost doesn't require any require saying. RK-Bro continues to be the best thing on this show. Love you both. The Pride shirts are awesome.
If you go to WrestleShop.com, you can get a Pride Wrestle Talk t-shirt. 100% of the profits go to Stonewall, a charity. You do that.
Eternal Blue, as I've stated before, I don't watch WWE as I refuse to give them money. My reviews come through the IWC and I piece them together. This show doesn't seem more than a 2.5-star show. They actually lowered our expectations so low that we say it was 4 stars. Yes, Eternal Blue. That's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what has happened. Matthew Robinson, did you notice that Jinder Mahal Beers has a big chunk missing out of it? Also wish some of those guys were part of the Money in the Bank qualifier.
I didn't spot that, no.
Maurice Robinson, is Flair and Ripley supposed to be lesbians or lovers?
I don't think they've given any hint of that being part of a story.
Nope. Matthew Robinson, I feel like they've already given up on the Eva Marie story. What do you guys think? 100% they have. Clearly they already have.
Yeah.
HCB, excited for Money in the Bank matches and a good Raw, but odd that Ricochet and Morrison got qualifying matches considering they never win. Also, can you start each review from updating us on the Ripley Flair face heel dynamic contender for the worst feud of the year?
The counter would always be boring.
Yeah.
Just nothing. There's nothing there. There's no character.
Nate S. The lack of star power in the Money in the Bank match seems ripe for a Brock Lesnar return to win the match he's not in again. Ricochet is just there to be the guy to get chucked off the roof. Luke, shoot your shot for AEW Taskmaster. I don't know if you saw this, but Chris Harrington of AEW has just discovered Taskmaster. And he said, it's now my mission to do an AEW version of Taskmaster.
The two things combine.
Lord Vortex 5 said, hi guys, just want to know if you at least liked Alexa Bliss's more aggressive side, and if they tune down the hypnosis, is this the way you like Alexa to go with in-ring action was good, or are you glad to see her back in the ring? I mean, I said this in my review yesterday, that watching her do a wrestle was way better than seeing her drop lights on people, so that was a thumbs up in my book.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think there is a version of this character that can work without supernatural guffins. And I like watching Bliss wrestle. I feel like it hardly happens the last couple of years.
Matthew Robinson, watch WWE change their minds and have Doudrop and Eva Marie go back to week one after they course correct again as the audience and act as if the audience are idiots. Dean Barretton said, The Miz will get his huge push now as he's in a wheelchair. And Chocobo Kid... And Jogabo Kid said, Karrion Kross will get the Dark Father-esque character if he gets pushed to the main roster. Because there is, I mean, the report is that Scarlett Bordeaux is getting her own tryout match this Friday, and she wasn't with Karrion Kross for his tryout match that he had on main event. So it looks like that if they do bring them up to the main roster, they may split the act up.
Well, we'll see. I hope Scarlett gets to wrestle. you know, like, I think that that would be a good thing. But yeah, I don't want to see them get split up. I just don't see why you would do that to an axe that's been very well molded in NXT. But thank you, everybody.
Not what NXT is for anymore.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for watching today. And thanks for all your very generous Ultra Chats. And mod team, as always, producer Rich. Luke told me a story. Do you want to tell the story about your, is it your cousin's son or something? The how they watch so much YouTube?
Oh, no, it was, so my wife told me this story. It's someone that she follows on Instagram. Their child watches so much stuff on YouTube that whenever like their grandparents then like sort of like, you know, wave bye to them on camera when they're doing Zoom chats or something, he goes, bye, like and subscribe, because he thinks that's how conversations naturally end, is you tell someone to like and subscribe.
So on that... Bye, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Bye bye.
Like
and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Please do get your emails in to support@wrestletalk.com. Send us an email. I did get this through from someone who has named them. Their email is just called Salty Speakers.
Ooh.
Now, really, this feels more like a Friday show thing that me and Denise would do, because we get a lot of questions in about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because that's how cool the Friday show is. But apparently, the salty speaker says, I live in Dover, NH, near where Mirage Studios was founded, and they're finally putting in a monument. Just thought I'd pass it along. So the city of Dover put up on their Facebook, this looks like, the city council endorsed an arts commission concept plan to install a unique historical marker commemorating the former site of Mirage Studios, the comic book studio that created the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Dover in 1983. The concept plan calls for the historical marker to be incorporated into a custom-designed maintenance hole cover in front of the lot where Mirage Studios was founded on Union Street. And they've got a picture of it there. In fact, actually, I'll share my screen so you can have a little look-see. They have literally got a manhole cover that is going to have some sort of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing on it.
That's cool. That's the best way to honor the turtles.
Exactly.
I think. I still don't get it.
What do you mean you don't
get it? I never really got the turtles as a kid.
No.
And
you're
as
like
an
the
adult,
right age for it, though.
I find them more obnoxious and annoying. They yell a lot. And they're very, yeah, you know, they're very, they're all over the place. It's a bit exhausting.
Are you not down for the Seth Rogen movie then that's coming out?
I haven't heard it. Is this happening?
Yeah, Seth Rogen is doing the latest reboot, you know, like the fourth attempt at rebooting mm-hmm. this franchise for the movies.
Is this that, like, do you just find someone who was part of that clique of actors from the noughties and you give them an 80s project to relaunch? Paul Rudd with Ghostbusters, of course.
Yeah. I've only got
those two examples.
Did you see the set photos of Michael Keaton as Batman from the Flash
movie? I did. Yeah.
Have you seen the Supergirl ones?
No.
Yeah, like they've got the photo now of like Supergirl in the movie as well, like from the set.
So this is in Flashpoint. So is she
not well what no, is no, she no. Doing? It's not Flashpoint. They said that they're taking inspiration from Flashpoint, but this is not a Flashpoint movie.
Like how Civil War took inspiration from Civil War, and it was pretty much the same thing, just with a slight fundamental retweak.
But it's not a Civil War adaptation. It's just in taking inspiration from it. I believe that's what Andy Muschietti has been saying.
Luke, the actress who's playing Supergirl is a brunette.
Well, yeah.
You can't cast people who don't look exactly like the character in the comics. This is outrageous.
She hasn't even dyed
her hair. She is spitting in the face of me.
I just love the idea that this is, you know, in Michael Keaton's Batman world, either he is Thomas Wayne or he is the Bruce Wayne from the Michael Keaton movies. And just in that world, there wasn't a Superman. There was only ever a Supergirl. Or is it just a case of, like, in their version, in that universe, they did do a Batman v Superman, and Superman didn't get resurrected, and now we've just got Supergirl replacing him instead. I'm super excited about that film.
I want it to take place in a universe where the Zack Snyder movies never happened. I think this is quite a good way to retcon out all of the stuff we've had so far. It's like it's a weirdly specific new dimension where Aquaman happened, Shazam happened, Wonder Woman happened with all the cast, all the castings, and Ben Affleck is still. Oh no, you need RPATs, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, Ben Affleck is also a Batman from somewhere else.
I was going to say, well, Benny Affleck is in Flashpoint. The Flashpoint, I've said it now, is in the Flash movie, reprising his role of the Batman.
So how does RPATS fit into all of this? Is he young Ben Affleck?
That's a different pocket universe, isn't it? See, the problem was when Warner Brothers realized that they didn't want to do an extended universe, so everyone was just making different movies like Joker, but now they've changed their mind again and want to start doing connected movies. But the problem is they've already greenlit a load of the other stuff that's already being made.
I can empathize with Warner Brothers. I think by the end of the year, I will have done a complete 360 on the YouTube strategy and just merged everything into one. Even No Rolls Barred. I'm going to put No Rolls Barred onto Wrestle Talk. It's hard to be consistent with the big things.
It is, isn't it? It is hard to be consistent. Also, speaking of consistent, thank you so much to Kevins85 for leaving a review on Apple Podcasts that said, always the loveliest and most consistent time with the WrestleTalk boys and girls, a hard recommend. Thank you so much. Please do get in your ratings and reviews Apple Podcasts. Yeah, hard recommend. Damn. So get those in on Apple Podcasts. I don't think you can leave reviews on Spotify, but if you can, do that there. Also, follow us on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're still listening at this point, get in your emails to support@wrestletalk.com. Hey, guess what? Next week, AEW's back on a Wednesday night.
Yes! Come on! Yes! I'm looking forward to that Saturday show as well. It looks stacked.
Yes, we have got AEW reviews coming back next week. I'm so excited, so happy for them to be back. But until then, take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.